Howdy friends, this is Matthew Sewell, and you're listening to episode 98 of the Popecast, A History of the Papacy, the only podcast about popes where you'll find non-boring stories on the successors of St. Peter, and a reminder that all the world's problems have happened plenty of times before. Before we get going, a quick thanks to all who have signed up recently to receive Today in Papal History, our other papal project. For those who haven't hopped aboard yet, Today in Papal History is our regular newsletter on pontifical happenings from that calendar date across the 2,000-year history of the papacy. So you can sign up for that for free or with a paid subscription at popes.substack.com. Now, our pope this week reigned at a time when the historical record wasn't much, and we don't know a whole lot about his life as a result, and yet his contributions to the history of the papacy have still resounded for over 1,600 years. This week on the Popecast, it's the first Pontifex Maximus, Pope St. Siricius. Siricius was born around the year 334 AD in Rome, barely two decades off of Christianity's legalization by the Emperor Constantine. His father's name was Tiburtius, but little else is known of Siricius's early life. What we do know is that he apparently sought out holy orders in the church relatively early on, first serving as a lector, reader, and later as a deacon under Pope Liberius and subsequently Pope St. Damasus I, both of whom, by the way, have had stories grace these airwaves in the past. Damasus died in 384, and Siricius was unanimously selected to follow him in the chair of St. Peter, being officially installed on December 17th of that year, after Emperor Valentinian III greenlit the choice. Siricius was 50 years old by that time, well past middle age in those days, but showed no signs of slowing down. He would ultimately reign for the next almost 15 years. The papacy in those days was undergoing a bit of a transformation, as you might imagine. The Christian community was likely still getting used to its legal status, not to mention its now significant size. So, Siricius's life as pope looked vastly different from that of, for example, the first 15 or 20 successors of Peter. He followed Damasus's efforts in, quote, integrating the Christian church into Roman high society and structures of government, end quote, as author Rupert Matthews noted. And he was making his contribution to the understanding of the Petrine Office's supreme authority in the church as well. As a Catholic encyclopedia recounts, quote, immediately upon his elevation, Siricius had occasion to assert his primacy over the universal church. A letter in which questions were asked on 15 different points concerning baptism, penance, church discipline, and the celibacy of the clergy came to Rome addressed to Pope Damasus by Pope Himerius of Tarragona, Spain, end quote. The document Siricius wrote in response, called a papal decretal, an edict to authoritatively decide questions on items like discipline and canon law, is in fact the oldest such document that is still completely preserved in existence today. Of course, there's parts of various other ones that are older, but this is the oldest complete document that's still in existence today. So we'll share a quote from it at the end, and you can read it in its entirety if you want to get extra nerdy at the Popecast website, and we linked that in the show notes. Now, this was hardly the only time Siricius had to deal with this sort of thing, though, and he also tangled with his fair share of heretical movements as well. Now, remember, the late 4th century was still a time where things like the definitive understanding of Christ's human and divine nature or the proper relationship between Mary and Jesus hadn't been hashed out yet. And so we have, for example, a Roman monk named Jovinian drumming up a group of supporters after preaching what St. John Henry Newman would later call in the 19th century, in some sense, a forerunner of Protestantism. Jovinian taught many things, but those that got him in hot water were a denial of the higher merit of virginity, celibacy, and fasting, not to mention he denied the perpetual virginity of Mary to boot. So this got the attention of Siricius, who convened a meeting of bishops in Rome around the year 390 to deal with the matter. He then commissioned the great St. Ambrose of Milan to hold a similar synod, out of which came a letter back to the pope, agreeing to the condemnation of Jovinian and his companions as heretics and excommunicating them as a result. In his letter to Milan, in fact, we still actually have Siricius' own words, notifying Ambrose and his brother bishops of his decision on Jovinian and speaking, maybe a touch hyperbolically, about just how big a deal he thought this whole thing was. So here's Siricius, quote, "Indeed, from the times of the apostles up to now, we," meaning himself and all previous popes, "have heard and known by experience of many malignant heresies, but the sacred tooth of the church has never been assailed by the barking of such dogs as those who have now suddenly broken in upon us, with the doctrines of unbelief fully sprouted, enemies of the faith, who by the fruit of their works have betrayed whose disciples they are." End quote. Now, one guess who he is referring to in that last line there, but it's salty language at any rate. A few other items of note from the papacy of St. Siricius. According to Rupert Matthews, again, Siricius was the first pope to use the phrase Pontifex Maximus to describe himself. Now, the real origin of it has been disputed over the years, but it seems to have narrowed down to this time period. Pontifex Maximus literally translates to Supreme Pontiff, or Chief Priest. It was a title that had been in use in ancient Rome for centuries to describe the most senior of pagan priests, and later was used by the emperors themselves. But having fallen out of use by the reign of Siricius, the Pope, in typical Christian fashion of quote-unquote baptizing, such a trend, for the church's own purposes, he adopted the title for himself and future pontiffs, noting that he is now the chief priest of the empire, and it's remained in use ever since. I mean, heck, it's even the Pope's Twitter handle now. Siricius' papacy also echoes to us in the present in the basilica that sits over the grave of St. Paul on the Via Ostensis in Rome. Siricius had had the church rebuilt and dedicated it in 390 AD, having his name etched into one of the pillars at the time, presumably the mark of dedication or some such. But the basilica was sadly destroyed by fire in 1823, but that particular pillar apparently still stands, and it's able to be seen by pilgrims to this day. Siricius died on November 26, 399, just a few weeks shy of the anniversary of his elevation of the papacy 15 years earlier. He was buried on the Via Salaria in the cemetery of Priscilla, but his relics now rest in the Basilica of St. Sylvester in Rome. Well, that does it for the story of the life of St. Siricius, but as promised, here's an excerpt from the oldest, once again, the oldest completely preserved papal decretal in existence, that 384 AD response from the Pope back to Bishop Himerius of Tarragona, Spain, answering a host of questions on discipline. And you can read it in its entirety at our website, linked in the show notes, but here's just the introduction. Quote, "The account which you, brother, directed to our predecessor of holy memory, Damasus, found me now installed in his see because the Lord thus ordained it. When we read that account more carefully, in an assembly of brethren we found to the degree we had hoped to recognize things which ought to be praised, and much which was worthy of reprimand and correction. And since it is necessary for us to succeed to the labors and responsibilities of him whom, through the grace of God, we succeeded in honor, having first given notice as was necessary of my promotion, we do not refuse, as the Lord deigns to inspire a proper response to your inquiry in every point. For in view of our office, there is no freedom for us, on whom a zeal for the Christian religion is incumbent, greater than on all others, to dissimulate or to be silent. We bear the burdens of all who are oppressed, or rather the blessed Apostle Peter, who in all things protects and preserves us, the heirs, as we trust, of his administration bears them in us." End quote. Now, two things stood out to me, and perhaps they did to you too, on how the early popes and Catholics by extension, already in the late 4th century, understood the office of the papacy, 11 and a half centuries before the Reformation. One, Siricius notes that the Pope is a man, quote, "on whom a zeal for the Christian religion is incumbent greater than on all others," end quote, meaning he ought to be the model of what it means to be Christian, and the stakes are the highest for him. And secondly, that the continuity with Peter is so important, that it's Peter, through his office, that, quote, "bear the burdens of all who are oppressed," end quote, because Peter, quote, "who in all things protects and preserves us, the heirs, bears them in us," end quote. So some great words to end with there. Thanks as always for listening. If you love the show, please consider becoming a paying subscriber either in your podcast app now, Apple or Spotify, or over at patreon.com/thepopecast. For that, you'll get early access, bonus content in episodes like the one last week with our friend Andrew Gilsmith, the author of the great book, Our Lady of the Artilex, and any other guests that we have bonus content at the end of all those episodes that are only for paying subscribers. Plus, you'll get some Popecast swag and some other neat stuff along the way. Also, if you haven't already, please be sure to leave us a rating, preferably 5 stars, of course, and a review over at iTunes. I think Spotify is still only ratings, no reviews there yet. I don't know if that's going to change or not, but at any rate, it can really help us help new listeners to find the show. Plus, if you post a review or email us with your thoughts, matt@thepopecast.fm, we always like to read those out on the air with your permission to give you a thanks and a shout out. So again, thanks again. And as we head out today, let us ask for the prayers of Pope St. Siricius that we might defend the truth with great charity and zeal and be an example of goodness and virtue for those around us. And above all, never forget, these are strange times we live in, but they are no stranger than in ages past. Until next time. Okay.